If you're a newcomer, we're really glad that you're here. And if you think we're a little crazy, they are. They are. I have nothing to do with it. So, inside your worship guide, you've got your message notes. We've been away for 3 weeks from this particular series. We had the joy of listening to the Douglases share about the events going on in their lives and in East Asia as missionaries. And then we had Papa's Day, and I got the pick on them a little bit last week. And so now we're going to return to our getting through life's losses. Getting through life's losses. It's something that we all need to go through. But listen, the message isn't to be a downer. The message from our Lord is to uplift us. It is to increase us with that positive, mental, spiritual attitude that he wants us to walk in this life with. And we can have that every single day as we walk in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has given us these qualities. They're called the fruit of the Spirit. That are eternal from the moment that we come to faith. They are given to us and they build us up. But there's a lot of brothers and sisters that feel like they haven't acquired them. And it's not true. They have them, but they haven't been using them. And this is what our Lord wants to do with regard to getting through life's losses. He wants to refresh you this morning so that you can go forward and be refreshing in the lives of other people that are going to go through, if they're not even now having gone through a loss that upsets their life. And, you know, losses are just all part of life. Because of messages that the Lord gives from the pulpiteers in our church family, they're to help you to be the encouragers, the Barnabases that go forth into your spheres of influence. You be the encourager to your spouse who might be down. You be the encourager to your mom or your dad who might be down. We are to be encouragers one to another, not depleters. You know, there are far too many depleters in the church of our Lord Jesus. They need to bring to life these wonderful, wonderful gifts that the Holy Spirit has given them. We're to have, as someone said during our prayer gathering this morning, an attitude of gratitude. Not just an attitude of gratitude, but a great attitude of gratitude. Because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. He has done great and awesome things. Those in our church family who far too often display the ants, you know, the automatic negative thoughts. We need to come alongside them and be that H-O-P-E. Remember, hopeful, optimistic, positive, and encouraged. This is all part of our life in Christ Jesus. We have to stop giving the unchurched the thought that the church is just COVID. That the church has always got the flu. They look at our faces and they don't see smiles. They see people they appear unhappy. And that's not what our Lord wants for us. Even in the midst of losses. The first thing that we learned last time that we began this message, because I'm going to do a brief recap as we move along here, we're basing this basically on what I have learned, because you, my church family, you as new folks, a couple of new folks that are with us today. Kathy and I, our son was killed on October the 24th of last year. He was 42 years old and 2 months, and we miss him a lot. And so we have been become the living illustrations for this particular message, because I'm not the only one who has gone through serious loss. All of you have gone through losses. All of you are going to go through losses. And if you're ready for them in the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to go through them much better than going through it as someone who has no idea that you could have been forewarned, forearmed, and be able to go through this in a much more special way. The first thing we learned last time is that loss is unavoidable. There on page one of your notes. But healthy grief, healthy, the emphasis is on healthy. Healthy grief is a choice. You can have a healthy grief. We all have to go through it. But are we going to go through it in a healthy way or an unhealthy way? We can choose to go through it in a healthy way. Loss, grief is different depending on the loss. As I shared with you by way of illustration, I was 10 years old when Dad took me out for pancakes at DuPar's in Encino. And I had pancakes with boysenberry syrup. Isn't it interesting how you remember things that have no consequence whatsoever? But why do I remember it? It's because when I got home with my dad, he told me that he and my mom were divorcing. Now, I had no clue what that meant, so he went into telling me what a divorce is all about. And I remember burying my face in his lap in the car and just crying and crying. And that had stuck with me. It's still with me, but it doesn't injure me as it used to. Because the divorce didn't just mean separation between my mom and my dad. It meant my dad was going to reveal himself in a way that he didn't even know he was. He was very self-centered, self-promoting. And he could have come over and had my brother and I, granted we were a couple of terrors, but he could have come over and had us anytime, but the most we got to see him was maybe 3 times a year. But he grew out of that. He grew out of that, and that was a good thing. But by then, I was off an adult in the military. My kid brother, though, he got to live with my dad when my dad had become a different dad, a good dad. And so that loss is different, very different from losing great friends that, you know, we've all gone through boot camp together and we've all been prepared to go to war, and they start getting wounded and you're not, and others are, they're dying, and that's a different kind of loss, and it's a different kind of pain, and it's really a terrible kind of loss. Because you have this survivor's guilt. You come home. They didn't. You come home whole. Some of them didn't. It's a different kind of loss, a different kind of pain. You're a young police officer, and you get a call of a missing 3-year-old, and you got a 3-year-old at home, and she's just, you know, the apple of your eye, and you also have a little infant daughter at home now, and you get this call, and you're told that this little 3-year-old boy is missing, and so you call out the troops, and we're going door to door, but I have this second sense. I'm going to go really thoroughly check the backyard, and in the backyard is a swimming pool, and at the bottom of the swimming pool is this little lifeless figure. So you jump in and you pull him out, and you start doing CPR, and you're crying out to the people between breaths and pushing on his little chest to call the paramedics, and the paramedics get there and they have all this gear and technology and they go to work on him. And you're sitting there and you're watching that this little person is not responding. And this little boy keeps reminding you, I have a 3-year-old at home, and this little boy, he dies. He doesn't revive. And it's like I absorb that because I got a 3-year-old at home. I got 2 little girls at home. And it affects you in a particular way. And then to lose Ronnie, that kind of a loss, that's like someone actually comes and rips an arm off or both of your arms off. The pain is enormous. There's nothing like it in all the world. Nothing. Nothing at all like it. But you have to remember the grief is a good thing, but you want to choose the good grief, not the bad grief. You want to be able to be mournful with your grief in a healthy way. The second thing that I shared with you is that I've learned is that grief is healthy. Grief is healthy. Many people don't understand that because they find grief to be an awful thing, therefore it can't be healthy, but you have to understand it's natural. It is a natural thing because the Lord himself, he has given it to us, the ability to go through grief. He himself demonstrated his grief. He wept at the tomb of his buddy, Lazarus. And he could have been there earlier, but he chose not to be there because he was going to do something to bring glory to his heavenly Father. And but nonetheless, it was a healthy grief that we see the Lord Jesus going through. He didn't repress it. He didn't suppress it, as we learned in our study 3 weeks ago. It was used to go through a positive life transformation for all those that were there when he came and he rose Lazarus from death to life. We don't want to choose that unhealthy grief family that leads many that I've sat with over the years in my office to talk about their grief, and they have gone to alcoholism. They have drank and become alcoholics. They started using drugs and became drug addicts, and they chose the unhealthy way to grieve the hurt that they were going through because they had this unresolved grief, they had this unresolved regrets and an unresolved resentment that they weren't willing to let go of. The third thing that I learned, and this is where we pick up this morning, is Jesus grieves with me. Jesus was grieving with me. And he was grieving with each of you that have gone through something that has been absolutely horrible. Whatever your loss has been, whatever that grief was, he was there with you and for you. I hope you knew he was there and were able to enter into that being with him so that he could comfort you and bring you through it in a healthy way. Jesus grieves with me. Say that with me. Jesus grieves with me. Now let's say it like we mean it. Jesus grieves with me. He does. In fact, your whole ability to grieve actually comes from him. He provides that for you. The only reason you have emotions is because Abba Father is an emotional person, and he gave emotions to you to be able to be happy and joyful? Gee, I'm there in the delivery room and I'm watching Mindy being born and watching Julie being born. I watch Ronnie being born. I get to watch Alina being born. I got to watch Braylon being born. I got to watch Bryce being born. I missed out on two of the seven grandkids. I didn't get to watch them. But what joy there is. What joy there is. But then when one of the family or a dear friend, or you have to say goodbye to someone like Francis, I miss him. I miss him because he made a point at the end of each message being honest with me. He said, that was a great message, or that one was a good one. You know, Francis was my brother in Christ, and I miss him. I miss him. We were created in the image of God. And in the image of God, oftentimes, people get lost in thinking about this, is that we think of an image, and therefore we think of like facial features and bodily features and things like that. God is spirit. We can't see him. He's invisible. We're made in his image. I'm invisible? No, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with he gave me intelligence. He gave me the ability to be artistic. He gave me the ability to do various things like he does. And this is what it means to be made in the image of God, to make right decisions, wrong decisions, to know if I'm making a wrong decision. He doesn't make bad decisions. The reason you grieve is because he grieves. I shared with you last week when we were going through Father's Day, through Genesis in chapter 6, and how sad he was because people have become, I don't know how much worse they were then to think of our country and what we've been up to and what we're doing and the way we're treating each other, that he doesn't come in and do something about the world now. I mean, how bad was Sodom and Gomorrah to absolutely burn the place down? Why hasn't he done that now? Boy, they had to have been really bad. But he was sad. He was grieved. He was upset with humankind. So he grieves. Look at your notes. Did you know that Abba Father gets sad? Well, I let that all out of the bag last week. You saw that in the scripture. Did you know that he weeps? Well, we saw Jesus weeping. Did you know that Father God has sorrows? Well, we saw that last week. Did you know that he has regrets? Yeah, he had a lot of regrets with regard to humankind. And when he sees the evil that people do, he has regrets. The Word of God says that the Trinity is an emotional God. And that's okay. And it's okay for us to be emotional, but to be emotional in a healthy way, understanding what he has said to us and how to respond to the certain hurts that we run into as we live on this planet, to respond in the way he would like us to. Your ability to grieve is what makes you different, makes me different from animals and reptiles and insects. You know, they don't grieve, but we do. They do not enter into denial. That is a phase of our grief, natural grief. We deny. When Kelly's and my brother Donnie at age 46 had a stroke and passed away, I kept telling myself as we're driving back from Palmdale, where he was in the hospital and had passed away, I kept telling myself, I can pick up the phone. I can call him. No, I can't. My brother's dead. But I kept telling myself, I can go over to his house and I can see him. I mean, my mind is playing tricks with me. No, I can't. Donnie is gone. It's denial. It's when Ronnie was killed, you know, I got home from an elders meeting like we're going to have today, and I rarely check the house phone. You know, if you call on the cell, you'll catch me usually. But if you call on the house phone, that's usually a salesman. So anyway, when I got home, I didn't check the phone right away. Probably a half hour later, because it was 4:30 when I did check the phone. Funny how you remember certain things. And on the phone was a voicemail from the coroner. And the coroner tells us in the voicemail that, would you please call this number? This is, again, a Sunday late afternoon. Would you call this number? We need to talk to you about William Ronald Seidel Jr. And I began to tear up and weep. And Kathy says, what's the matter? And I said, Ronnie must be dead. And he wasn't home. And she says, he's okay. I don't think so, honey. Why would the coroner call and say he wants to talk to us about our son? The only time a coroner calls is if he's calling about someone who's dead. And so I called the number, but they had closed a half hour earlier. And now I'm going to have to wait till Monday morning? I don't think so. I immediately call one of the sweetest people in this church. And if you haven't gotten to know her yet, Martha. I called Martha and said, do you know anybody that can walk me through the back door of the coroner's office? Because it sounds like my son has been killed. And she said, let me get back to you. And she called a friend, and the friend went to the coroner's office and pulled his report. And said, yes, he was killed this morning at 5:25 a.m. right out here on the 5 freeway where you come down from the 210. And Martha came over with her police partner and just loved on us, and I'll never forget that. Denial, wanting to keep denying, Ronnie's not dead, Ronnie's not dead. That night, going upstairs to bed, I look out to his bedroom. There's always a light on out there when he's in, and no light, no light. For weeks, I would look out the front door as I would go to bed, looking for that light. Part of me was still trying to deny that he was dead, and I knew he was alive. Anger is another part that is part of our grief, and it's okay to have an anger, but we need to have a righteous kind of anger. I didn't have a righteous anger for the first week and a half, as I shared with you, that things were different between the Lord and I for a week and a half. And I was mad. I was mad. How can you do that to me? I mean, I'm one of your shepherds, for crying out Pete's sake. You know, how can you take my son, my son who went through 19 years of a rotten lifestyle, and I've had him now for 3.5 years where he's turned around and I'm getting to know him and getting the love on him like I didn't get the love on my dad and before he died, and just going through these turmoils of being angry. But it's natural, family. It's natural. But what made it worse is because for a week and a half, I didn't go spend time with him. For a week and a half, there was no deep personal experience. For a week and a half, there was no gnosko time, because I'm arrogant. I am arrogant. How dare you And you know I've asked you to forgive me, Father. I'm arrogant. How dare you take my son? And then it was not really audible, but it was like it was audible, spiritually speaking. Run, if you could have him back, would you want him back? Well, of course I'd want him back. But no, now that he's with you, I don't want him back. I want him safe. I want him out of this messy world that's been created by humankind. I want him to be with you. But boy, do I miss him. Boy, do I miss him. Why'd you let all these other fellas that I know get killed in Vietnam? For crying out loud, why them? Why not me? Why do I come home and suffer with? Because I'm going to have you do certain things for me that you don't even know about. I didn't know God then. Changed my life. He came into my life and made me a different person. He did lovely, gracious, merciful things for me. Bargaining. That's the next phase we go through. Lord, if I could trade myself for Ronnie, but that wouldn't be fair. I get to be where I want to be in heaven, and he's got to be here in this world. That's not right. But what other kind of things can we do? Leave Ronnie where he is. Leave him where he is. In your head and in your heart, Ron, leave him with me and get back to your DPE. Get back to your Gnosko time. Get back to where I can spiritually hold you close. Remember, I told you I never desert you. You've tried to desert me, but you can't. I'm here, Ron. I haven't left you, and I haven't done something terrible to you by taking your son to be with me. That is not a horrible thing. And then there's depression. So I've been in and out of depression, of being depressed. And that's okay too, so long as I don't let it hook me and hold me and cause me to go in other directions that would be negative, things that would be wrong that he's already told me in his love letter as to how I need to be responding. Jesus was depressed in the garden. As you read the words there in the Greek text and unpack them, he was depressed knowing he was going to the cross. Father, please take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, as the Spirit keeps reminding me, not my will, but yours. Your will be done. Even as Gary reminded us from the Lord's Prayer this morning in our prayer gathering, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. And then the last thing, when we get through this period of grief, and I don't know that we ever get fully through it, but get through most of it in a healthy way, then we have what they call acceptance. Acceptance. I've come to the point. I accept what went on between my mother and father. I got Kelly out of it. I always pick on him, but I'm glad he's my brother. And I got Vicky, his wife, my sister. I didn't have any sisters growing up. I was number one. I was the firstborn. All boys. And what do boys do? We play with little frilly things. No, we don't. We fight and we make mom unhappy. My mom named every gray hair on her head, and I think most of them were mine. Acceptance. Kathy and I have accepted what has taken place most recently with Ronnie. It's really great that Ronnie's with the Lord. Ronnie had demonstrated for 19 of his 42 years a reluctance to make good decisions. But in the last 3.5 years, he was making better and good decisions. But now he is safe at home. When you say, I'm not going to grieve over loss, I'm just going to put my head down like a fullback and we're the offensive team and I've got the ball and I'm going to hold that puppy against my chest and my tackle and my guard are supposed to open this hole and I'm going to go right through and make a touchdown. Well, I'll tell you what, usually the other tackle and guard on the defense is going to fill that hole and you're going to hit a block wall. Don't say to yourself, I'm not going to go through this loss. I'm not going to grieve in a healthy way. You will hurt yourself. Humans grieve because they're made, as I said, in the image of God. So you don't want to say, I'm not going to grieve. No, the inspired, authoritative Word of God in there, Abba is standing not on the sidelines, but with us when we go through these times of grief. Look at Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Say that with me. Let's read it aloud together. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I can testify to that, family. I can testify. Kathy can testify to that. He was and remained, and he has never forsaken us. Never. Have I? Yes, forsaken him. But he never, me, from the time from the time I was born. Even though I didn't know him during the war. Even though I didn't know him until later in life. He has always been there. And then when I have this broken heart, when I'm crushed in spirit, there he is. Circle the word near in your text there, in your notes or in your Bible. Some of you are brokenhearted this weekend. Some of you were broken. Something happened this last week. Maybe this last month, or maybe from the beginning of the year, something awful has taken place. A loss has happened to you. Maybe it happened years ago. I think of girls and then in their teens or even younger were molested by some pervert. And it still hurts them today. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been in your DPE. Action step. Look at your notes. The Word of God says, God is close to the brokenhearted. When you think Jesus is a million, billion, as I thought he was that first week and a half, miles away, and he's nowhere to be found, guess what? Guess what? He's as close to you as he can get. His spirit lives in you, family. His spirit lives in you. He's close, as close to you as he can get. And isn't that wonderful? You just need to tune into him. It is time for Gnosko. It is time for DPE. A deep personal experience with Jesus. R.C. Riles, man of the pulpit of years ago, he said this, "Let us beware of murmuring in the time of trouble. Let us settle it. Let us settle it firmly in our minds that there is a meaning, a need be, and a message from God in every sorrow that falls on you." The Bible tells us that grief, that the loss in some part of life, and that grief can be healthy, but it's your choice. And that he grieves with you. Those are the major things he's taught us thus far. Get it? Good. Well, I'm going to stop here, and we'll pick up at this point next time, and we will go much further into our study of getting through life's losses. Father, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you that you have promised never to desert nor to forsake us. Thank you for being such a wonderful example of what you are calling us as your kids to become. Men and women, boys and girls, who are able to run to you and to receive from you that power, that warmth, that sense of your love. And even though we might shout at you and be anything but an example of a son or a daughter of God, you don't go away. You don't tell us, "Hey, I'm done with you." You take the abuse, just as Jesus did on the cross. Perfect Son of God, no sin whatsoever. And he took the abuse. He didn't deserve, but he took the abuse anyway upon himself, that we wouldn't have to receive your wrath and to end up in hell instead of in heaven with Francis and Ken and so many others that have left us to join you in your perfect heaven. So Father, I ask you to help us now, right where we are. If we didn't come confessed and repentant this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth, may we correct that now. May we be able to come to the table, to come to the Eucharist, this time of thanksgiving for what your Son accomplished on the cross for the benefit of humankind. that we confess and repent of our sins so we can eat the bread and enjoy it and drink the cup and enjoy it and be thankful. That we can remember that moment in our lives months or years ago when your Holy Spirit did that wonderful work on our hearts, the reveal to us, we are sinners. Your Son is the Son of God and the Redeemer of humankind. And that it is only through Him that we can come to You. And it is only because of Him and having received this great salvation that He provides through faith alone, in Him alone. That we enter into this morning, once again, being ever so thankful for revealing our sinfulness and how we can say we're honestly sorry and to have all those sins redeemed, taken away, our lives being given a new life in Christ Jesus, Your Son. And that we can be adopted into Your family. Thank You for adopting us who are in Your family. Thank You. Do you hear them around the worship center, Father? We're thanking You. We're so very, very happy. We're not going to go to hell. We're so very, very happy. We get to enjoy You right now, where we are right now, this very minute. And every day You make Yourself available to us. What a wonderful, wonderful Father You are. What a wonderful Daddy. How we thank You. And we do this in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.